This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station. The Property Show on BFM 89.9, the business station.
Hi there, good morning. This is The Property Show. Hi, I'm David Chiu together with...
Azura Rahman.
Okay, today we're going to be talking about a rather intriguing subject, right? Which is actually freehold land and leasehold titles.
Yes, this is specifically in Petaling Jaya. Now, you see, David, I'm a born and raised PJ girl, right?
Okay.
And the notion of leasehold and freehold titles in the township had always fascinated me because, you know, why certain sections are freehold and why some aren't, and some sections in PJ are even half and half.
Oh,
right.
Really? Yeah?
Yes, it is. Section 16 particularly.
I mean, of course, it's also a significant thing because that could mean whether your neighbour around the corner could have a house that's higher in value because of this.
Absolutely. And with all the parts of PJ being up for renewal for their leasehold titles, this issue has become even more pertinent. And I spoke to Mark Quinn Wing, who took a deep interest in this issue, and he wrote a book about it. It's called The Truth About Petaling Jaya Land.
Okay, let's take a listen.
What made you write this book?
While I was a counsellor, many of the residents expressed concern about their expiring land leases. And one of the things that I did in response to those complaints that were coming in was I started doing research on the issue. It took some time. I had to go and source a lot of information from all over. I actually went to meet up with a lot of residents, pointers from other residents who were telling me that, you know, this person has such and such a document. I took about a year to collate some of the documents that you see in the book. It took some time, but that was the reason why I started doing this.
Now, just to give a better picture of the landscape, what's the current composition of land titles in Petaling Jaya as a whole?
I think it's half and half.
So half is freehold, half is leasehold. What's the history behind the formation of Petaling Jaya? I mean, who owns the land?
Okay, historically, the old Petaling Jaya, which is from Section 1 to Section 16, okay, that one comes under Petaling Estate and One Palm Land Estate. The newer parts of Petaling Jaya, which is Bandar Utama, that would be Effingham Estate, and next to it is Mal Estate, which is Kota Damansara side, and Kelana Jaya would be Seaport Estate.
Okay.
So the whole area was British estates at
right.
that time.
So they're owned by private companies in that sense.
Yes.
What does that normally mean when, you know, land is actually owned by a private entity as opposed to the state government?
Ownership by these estates would have meant that the land was freehold.
Right.
All right. That was normally how the British government attracted all these private firms from their own country to invest in Malaysia and, you know, to plant crops. Even having said that, okay, I don't have any evidence to show that the land was actually freehold under the old land titles. However, if you follow the old law, there are only two versions, all right? One is freehold and the other one is leasehold for 999 years. So in whichever way you look at it, if PJ was built on one of these lands,
right,
it would have to inherit either the freehold status or 999 years.
Okay. But we know that the reality of it, that's not the case today.
That's not the case. Yes.
Okay, what has transpired then?
Okay, part of the research that I was doing was the British government actually admitted in memorandums and meeting minutes that they didn't follow the process that was described in the old laws when they founded Petaling Jaya. So the residents who first bought into Petaling Jaya were not given their land titles. An auditor's report in 56 actually says, questioned the Petaling Jaya authority, the whole works, about how did this come about, you know, the documentation is not in order. The residents seem to be in possession of a document that is for their addresses and not lot numbers as is required by law for the government to produce. A year later, in 57, all the departments that were involved with this, the town planning department, the survey department, the Petaling Jaya authority, and the Kuala Lumpur district authority, they all got together in a meeting. They admitted to the problems. They said, okay, these are all the problems. And they actually have a specific set of instructions to say, okay, this is how you're going to fix it. Okay, and they reference the old law again. You said you should use sections 50 and 100 of the old land code to rectify this problem and issue land titles to the residents. Now, a few months later, after they had that meeting, we achieved Merdeka.
Okay, there was a bigger agenda.
What happened after that, I don't really know. But the thing was, the instruction to carry out a proper survey of Petaling Jaya so that residents could be issued those land titles, that was carried out.
And what was the findings from that?
Now, what happened was, residents got national land code land titles. Okay, this is where the discrepancies I would like to point out here. The national land code only came out in 1965.
Mm-hmm.
You rewind back a bit, PJ was founded in 52. Instructions to fix the problem was somewhere in 56. And the survey department did their jobs in the early 50s and 60s. So by right, although the residents should have been issued land titles under the old land law,
they were given the ones under the new law.
Under the new law.
Right. What's the upshot of that, of getting the land titles under the new law? What did that mean for the residents?
They were issued leasehold titles for 99 years. Right. Some got it for 60 years.
Okay.
In my research, there's no conformity in who deserves freehold and who deserves leasehold. Say Section 16, say Tiara Damansara, all right? That one is freehold.
Mm-hmm.
But the other parts of Section 16 is leasehold.
Yes.
Why? Similar examples, Section 5. Section 5 all along Jalan Gasing is leasehold. But if you go into Petaling Garden, which is a bit deeper in, they are freehold.
Right. I am speaking to Mark Queen Wang, and he's the author of The Truth About Petaling Jaya Land on The Property Show. And when we come back, we'll be talking a bit more about what can be done to right this wrong, perhaps, on The Property Show at BFM 89.9. It's Azura Rahman on The Property Show, and here with me is Mark Queen Wang, and he is the author of the book The Truth About Petaling Jaya Land. And we've been talking about how titles have been issued to landowners from Section 1 to 16 in PJ.
Yeah.
Now, what can be done to right this wrong then, Mark?
What needs to be done is, first, the government needs to acknowledge this problem. I started working with resident groups. I went with Section 4 Rukun Tetangga residents, one of the affected groups. They signed a petition. The government's response to that petition was, can you please provide all your evidence in paper before we continue this discussion?
Okay.
It became a stumbling block in the sense that I don't have definitive evidence. Okay, but I have been able to show all the discrepancies, all the confusion that the government's land titles that are presently in circulation. And these discrepancies, the ones that I talk about in the book, are just the tip of the iceberg.
So it's a fine mess that we're all in at the moment.
Yes, it is a big mess, yeah.
I guess the upshot for this is for, you know, the residents that you've spoken to. Basically, their leasehold titles, wrongly or correctly, that's been given to them, are running up, and they're looking for it to be renewed. What are your views on the likelihood for renewal? It's happened in the past already before, for Section 1, for example.
Okay, look, what the government is now doing, they have gone with the 1,000 ringgit leasehold renewal program. The National Land Code doesn't have any provision to allow the government to renew your leases. This is admitted by the government itself. I have a booklet where they said, we admit that the National Land Code doesn't have this provision, but we are using these particular sections to do the process because that is the way it's been done.
In a sense, I think many people would probably be satisfied with that. You know, I pay 1,000 ringgit,
agreed,
I get another 99 years, and I'm happy with that. And you know, I don't wish to pursue it any further. Is that a view that you find in most of the residents that you meet?
Well, yeah. In fact, fine, you know, 1,000, it's cheap.
Okay, it's a one-off payment.
Yeah, one-off payment for 99 years.
Mm-hmm.
But here's the thing. I've gotten feedback from residents where, for one, although the promise was that it only takes 3 months to process it, this offer was made last year in June or July, somewhere around there. There are residents till today who are waiting for the process to be completed for them.
Right.
Also, some residents are not too happy with the process because it requires them to give up their land titles. And I have the documents from the government where it says you will surrender your land title. The words is untuk pelupusan. Okay, that means it's to be destroyed. Okay, you don't get a new land title immediately. You know, that's I think there are not a lot of takers for the program.
Okay, so Mark, just to round off the interview, for those who are listening and they're affected by this, what's your advice to them?
Okay, learn up on your rights, and the only way you're going to get the government to actually look into this issue is if enough people make noise about it. I am not an affected party. I don't own a leasehold property in Section 1 to 2, Section 16.
Right.
So this is something that the residents themselves, those who are affected, they need to start voicing their concerns. It has to come from the residents.
Okay, and that was Mark Quin Wang, and he's the author of The Truth About Petaling Jaya Land on The Property Show, BFM 89.9.
Very interesting stuff there, isn't it? I mean, he makes quite a compelling argument about the origins of PJ.
You're right. And while he has raised questions, I think what's very crucial to note here, David, is that this is one man's research and hypothesis. And while the book raises questions, I think the discussion is still open as to what is the real status quo of PJ land.
That's right. I agree with that. Okay, tell you what, why don't we move on to this week's property tip?
And today's property tip is when DIY is worth it. Now, painting the walls in your home is the perfect DIY project, especially as it can cost so much to have it done by a contractor. However, it could be as exciting as watching paint dry. Make your DIY project a reason to celebrate by inviting family and friends over in the spirit of Gotong Royong. Hand each one of them a paintbrush, and you'll find that many hands will make light work, especially when there are great tunes playing in the background. Get your camera out and take individual action shots of those who are helping. They'll be a great addition to your wall of fame. Don't forget to keep everyone happy with tea breaks and reward everyone with a great meal once the task is complete.
All right, and now let's proceed on to sales and launches happening this weekend. Let's kick it off with Sunway Eastwood Phase 2 in Sri Kembangan. Now, these are developed by Sunway Integrated Properties in Jalan Bahat. 72 units or three-story terrace houses available on leasehold land and built up just a little over 3,000 square feet. They're priced from 900,000 ringgit onward.
Next, we have Metropolitan Square C Condominium in Damansara Perdana. Some of you might be familiar with this development already.
Right.
That's developed by Saljana Triangle Sendirian Berhad, and there are 258 units available. Built up is between 975 to 1,245 square feet, so not really big. And the prices range from 525,000 to around 834,000 ringgit. That's around 540 to 670 per square foot.
Quite affordable, actually. 16 Quartz Melawati in Taman Melawati. Now, these are developed by Mitra Land Melawati Sendirian Berhad. A total of 81 units. These on leasehold land, mind you, is up for grabs. No details provided for the build-up, but the price for this three-story link house starts from 1.75 million to almost an affordable 3.6 million ringgit.
Wow, all the way in Taman Melawati.
Yeah, that makes it about 490 to almost 590 ringgit per square foot. Well, that brings us to a close for the property show for this week. Join us next week on Ringgit and Cents. That's on Thursday. Yeah. And we're going to speak to
Ng Chi Hao, and he's the director of retail and retirement funds from M Invest. And this is the second of our three-part series, and he'll be speaking on how you can benefit from private retirement schemes.
Okay, that's next Thursday, but for now, the property show ends right here.
The property show on BFM 89.9, the business station. Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.